life has taught us that all of us have some difficult moments. We've learned that life is not flowers and bees. It's not every day being a day of sunshine. As a matter of fact, we've learned that even as children of God, we are not exempt from life's difficulties. In each life, some rain must fall. Life has some ups and some downs. Or some good days and some well days. There are some days you'll start out smiling, and at some point of the day, smiles can turn to tears. Believe me when I tell you, life will have some moments of difficulty. Growing up as a child, Pastor Malady would sing a song that says, "Have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Do you have any mountains that you cannot tunnel through?" Then they would look at us and say, "But God specializes in those things that seem impossible, and He will do what no other power can do." So since we've learned that life does not exempt us from difficulties, life has its problems, and each life's rain must fall. It's all right when you got problems as long as you have a problem solved. Yeah. Crying is all right when you got somebody that can dry tears from your eyes. How many know bearing burdens ain't that bad when you got a bad burden? Amen. When your heart has been heavy, but you knew somebody that can soothe an aching heart. So it was in this moment in the life of this biblical character by the name of Jairus. We don't know a whole lot about him on the surface, but the background search of Jairus enlightens us on a couple of things. First of all, the Bible says he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a religious ruler. He was a man of authority. He was a man of prominence. He was a man who held a position. The problem was that he was involved with religious leaders who went against and opposed who Jesus was. Now, I want to suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, it's all right to want to be prominent in life. It's all right to seek glamour and positions in life. But any prominence, glamour, or position that opposes who Jesus is ain't going to help you. I wish I had somebody help me right there. Because it bothers me when I see folk who are on fire for God until they get around certain folk. And folk who love God until they get moved or elevated to certain positions. Like, you grew up on Amazing Grace, and you grew up waving your hand, and you grew up on "I Need Thee Every Hour." You grew up on "Thank You, Lord." You grew up on "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." You, "Oh Lord, have mercy, I got you out of a whole lot of predicaments," but you have got down to other folk now, and you don't even want to acknowledge the name of the Lord, because it's going to bring some incrimination on your position. You are not allowed your position to come between you and who Jesus is. He had problems. These people had problems. You know, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these religious leaders who had the ability to walk around. They knew the law. They knew the word. But they knew it so well that they didn't see everything wrong with you. But they could never see anything wrong with themselves. Y'all ever met anybody like that? They can see everything wrong in your life. But they can't see nothing wrong with theirs. They can always see what you want to do with your child. But they can't do nothing with theirs. Amen. Jesus said, "Now, hypocrite, what you got to learn how to do if you can just get the big old stuff straight in your life. You can look across the pasture and see the little stuff that's going on in mine." But watch this. It doesn't matter how you may have problems with Jesus. Watch this. Problems will make you drop your position and come find the Lord. Come on, y'all ready? We read it several times. This ruler of the synagogue, I'm paraphrasing, his daughter is on her sick bed, and Mark says she is so sick that she's actually about the point of death. You mothers know what it's like when your babies have been sick and you walk through all night. Rocking and shaking and praying because you can't rest well when your baby is sick. I wish y'all be real with me for about 10 more minutes. Amen. I'm trying to get you to help you understand the position that this man was in. And see, with him being a ruler, he could have sent somebody else to go find Jesus. Some historians would suggest that maybe at this time there were no servants around the house. Point number one I want to leave with you is you need to know how to get in touch with Jesus for yourself. Even though Jairus didn't agree with the teachings of Christ and he had problems with him being the Son of God, he knew where to find him when he needed him. And I want to suggest to you that you ought to be able to know how to find the Lord more than just on Sunday morning. Come on, you ought to spend some time with him through the course of the week. You ought to have some time with you singing the Lord's song throughout the course of the week. You ought to have some fellowship in the Lord's word throughout the course of the week. There ought to be some preoccupation with communication where you talk to God and allow God to talk back to you, because I ain't been around long, but I've been around long enough to understand at some point you're going to need it. I grew up, a deaconess by the name of Sister Kitty Davis would stand up on third Sunday morning when we used to have what they call testifying service, and she had one song. I need the Lord. I need him to guide me every day, because as I journey along this narrow way, though afflictions press my soul, I'm determined to reach my goal, but I got to have Jesus. Because I can't make it by myself. Jairus goes out and he goes to Jesus. He knows where to find him. And notice what he says to him. He says, my daughter is at home. She's about to die. And I need you to come and lay your hands on her. And I believe that if you touch her, she'll live. Now this comes from a man who has problems with him being the Son of God. Can I suggest to you that desperate measures will cause you to take desperate action? Come on, talk back to me if you don't mind. Let me share this if you don't mind, Pastor Mallet. Watch this. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul uses this term, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we are God's representatives in whatever arena we are in. God places us in unique places, and he puts us around certain people. Everybody in your circle ain't going to be saved, but God put you in the circle so that you can know Christ. Everybody on your job doesn't know Jesus, so God hired you and put you there so you can be God's representation in that place. And what am I saying? Even though they don't want to hear you talk about God, they may not want to hear you mention his name, but at some point they're going to have some problems. They're going to need some directions, and I promise you, if you stand up for God, they're going to look for you. I ain't telling you what I made up, I'm telling you what I know for myself. I worked on a job when folk found out I was a preacher, everybody ran out that direction. Everybody want to hang around me because I was a preacher. But one night at work, there was a lady whose daughter didn't come home. She called her, kept calling the phone, and couldn't get no answer. Calling, and nobody could return her call. But at break time, guess who everybody was looking for? When I got to the break room, they had the church and the unchurch. And on my way down the hall, all I asked God was to use me to help open somebody's eyes. And tonight they're going to discover that you are God. I wish I had time to tell you before we got off work. She came to me and told me, they passed up my baby at home and she's doing well. Somebody needs to know that God put you there for a reason. Because he needs somebody to know how to reach him in a time of difficulty. Jesus, yes, and I know me and you don't see eye to eye. But I know if you touch my daughter, yeah, because you got a track record that suggests that if you show up, things can change. So he says, Jesus just looks at him and says, show me where you've been. That's what he says in essence, because the 8th clause of verse 24 says, just show me and I'll come, because it says, and Jesus went with him. Now, when you read the rest of the dialogue, you'll discover there's some things that happen, because this story takes a twist, because while he's on his way to go see if my Jairus is done, he's thrown by a crowd of people, because wherever Jesus went, the Bible said multitudes with an S would follow him. Grandmama would say he always had a heap of people around. But Mark says, here comes this woman who has been struggling with a blood issue, a hemorrhaging condition that's been going on for a period of 12 years. She has exhausted all of her resources. She has spent all of her living. She has gotten all the best of medical attention that medical science had afforded her in that day. And she had made up in her mind, if I can just get to him, even if he don't touch me, I got enough faith to believe I can just grab on his clothes. And see, you ain't got real faith until you can believe God for the impossible. So you just worked a couple of weeks, you ain't got to believe God for the next paycheck, because you already know that's coming. But you got to believe God for the stuff you can't see and the stuff you can't do, and believe that he can do what no other power is able to do. Y'all know the story. This woman touches the hem of his garment. Some of the virtue and the power leaving Jesus' body. She gets her healing. Jesus stops and says, somebody touch me. And the disciples say to him, Master, what do you mean somebody? Got folks hanging on top of you. It could have been anybody. He said, this was a special touch. I felt something leave me. When he gets to Jairus' house, remember he gave the word, he went with him. The second thing I want to leave you is, you got to believe that when you call it, he's going to show up. You got to have enough confidence. If you don't trust God, don't bug God. Well, Lord, I need you to do this. I know you probably ain't going to do it, but you may as well spend your money on going to see Mickey Mouse or something. Amen. If you don't believe God's going to do it, don't call up on the line, because they got some other of us trying to get on the line who know he can. By the time he gets to Jairus' house, remember the journey has been halted because of the episode with this woman. And so when he gets there, Jairus' daughter has died. God have mercy. Remember the dialogue. Jesus, if you show up, put your hands on my daughter. I know she'll live. And the last word Jesus gave Jairus was, I'm coming. This had to be a sad moment in the life of Jairus, because remember, he already had issues with Jesus in the first place. And this would appear to be Jesus' grand opportunity to make an impression upon Jairus that whether you believe it or not, I'm the Son of God, and yes, I do have power. And the one time Jairus came to him, it would appear that Jesus let him down.
Yes, sir.
I wish I could preach this like I feel. Because a lot of folk, Brother Dickinson, don't want to admit the fact that we've had some moments in life where we felt like God had let us down.